and he's seen the reaction of Adam. And immediately we see that Adam first became very, very fearful. He was very fearful hiding when he did this. But then we see Adam, after he came out, began to be very blaming it on his wife, blaming it on God who gave him the wife. She blaming it on the serpent. And so we see that their responses were different, but God faced them with this. He didn't brush over it. He didn't say, well, I just love you all so much that I don't want to hurt you, that you're my children. And I really feel like, I feel so sad about what you did. But God didn't do that. And we aren't. You say, Sister Schwartz, you're a preacher? Yes, I'm a preacher. But I realize that many and many a circumstance and many a people have been hurt and have not been helped and have gone astray because we've been fearful that as we see that God, he loved these, he made them, he cared about them, he had a plan to rescue them, but he still confronted them. So we have to remember that we must learn how to confront. And the word that we have to remember is assertive. Now, assertive is when we do it in a very positive, a very wise way, confront someone. But we will be talking about that more. What constitutes confronting people? It's an act of actually encountering a person with a purpose. Now you're going to see that what the confrontation, types of confrontation, all of them are confronting a person, but each one of them is a different way that people confront. And not all of them. Actually, there's four ways and three of them is not good. So we have to understand then that we're going to be encountering a person and exposing what is wrong. And in doing this, our goal is to establish truth. What we want to do is to be able to establish that this is the truth. This is what it really is. And in doing that, we will be helping the person and bringing them in to begin to think and to begin to understand and to begin to be convicted for what they have done. So that actually confronting is to encounter with a purpose, encounter with a desire. And so we're going to find out what these confrontations can be. Now, I want you to notice, and that's why I want us to look at this, the biblical way of confronting is not giving in, caving into everything. You know, sometimes they'll say to you, well, you're a Christian. Why, what are you standing? Because you know what truth is. Christian, love, truth are all together. And so here we have then how the ways that God confronted men or used others to confront people. I want you to notice that sometimes, like he did with Adam and Eve, he confronted them with a question. Have you eaten the fruit? Have you touched the tree that I told you not to? So actually, he asked a wise question. He came very direct. He did not say, you ate the fruit. No, no. See, that's what we do sometimes to our children. We just go right in there with an aggressive spirit. No. He's saying here, let us ask question. A question is very good to start out. Did you say this? That's one of the best questions you can ask when there is a conflict. Did you say this and then repeat what you think they said? Is that what you said? And they may say, well, no, that's not what I meant. That's not what I really meant. I meant this. And sometimes that can settle the confronting immediately. Because sometimes this is what happens. we misunderstand each other. But God said, but God used to questions. He did with Job. When he went to Job, he questioned him. And it began to make Job think, and he began to answer God. Sometimes we see that a method in the Bible was using a parable. Now, a parable is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. In other words, we're going to tell a little example. We may have a little parable of like, well, let's use it as God did, as Christ did. He used it like the vineyard. He said he was talking to the Pharisees now. And he said, a man went out and planted a vineyard, got it going good. Then he gave it to others, hired them out to take care of the vineyard. And he said, when it was time to collect the fruit, those men wouldn't, when I sent my men to get them, they would, some of them they beat, some of them they killed. And he said, I finally decided I send my son. When I sent my son, they killed him. They said, here's the heir, then we can have it. And immediately, the word of God says in there, the Pharisees knew that he was talking to them. It's a very wise person that can be able to use a parable. You know, I think to myself, when it comes to confronting, a lot of it is done in emotion. Then you can't help yourself. Very rarely can you think clearly then. But if you can think, that and be able to come up with something that can not hit at them as a person, you'll find that maybe sometimes you can tell something to them that will waken them. He used stories. God used stories, used men with stories. We see that there was a time when David had, which is an indirect type of thing, like the other two are, the other one was indirect. Here we see he's telling a story about a man that had a sheep. And David was sitting there listening. And as the prophet told him, he began to see, he got very emotional. He said that man had a sheep and he had some friends coming. The rich man that lived next to him knew that this man had a sheep, one sheep. And as we see now that the rich man's going to have a dinner, someone's come. And instead of taking from his very large flock, he took that one lamb, that one the man had. David was incited. David was angry. David's justice just rose up. But I wonder how he felt when the prophet said, "You're the man." I believe David's balloon just bursted. It was then that David came apart. This is how he confronted him. So sometimes, if we could even use a story, and then sometimes we confront with an admonishment. We admonish a person. Now that's different than rebuking. Admonishing is maybe a softer type of thing. We see that Jesus did this when he was faced with this woman who had committed adultery. And the men said, we caught her in the very act, and the scripture said, we must stone her. And we see Jesus as he bent down, wrote on the ground, and he just said to them, then you that have no sin, cast the first stone. And you see how they just faded away. And how the lady, when Jesus talked with her, he said, go and sin no more. He was admonishing her. Don't do it anymore. But then we come to what we call the rebuke. And we see this very plainly with Paul. It's a stern, strict reprimation. It brings sort of a conviction or shame to us in a sense. Here Peter and John and Peter and Paul had been eating with the Gentiles. Paul having a good time, or rather Peter having a good time. But here come the Jews in. Now the Jews and the Gentiles didn't eat together. And immediately Peter got up and moved over to the Jewish people. Whoop, come back here. To the Jewish people. And Paul got up and rebuked him. Very stern. What's this? What are you doing, Paul? You know? So here was some of the examples in the Word of God how people were confronted with different methods. So I want you to understand that the Word of God is filled with those who had to confront. So therefore, we cannot say, well, as a Christian, I just don't confront. I just let it go on. I just feel like God doesn't want me. He just wants me to show love. No, friends. We are here to help one another. And we cannot help one another when we slide over things that are wrong and things that need to be corrected. God loves us. He really confronts us for some purposes. He confronts us so that we can find a closer relationship with him. And I think in our marriages, this is what you want, a closer relationship. You don't want some things hidden in your heart and they're grinding in you and the anger and it's becoming bitterness. No, we don't want that. We want our relationships to become more real and closer. So we become, as I talked to you before, that we become open to one another, able to face each other and confront each other. That's what it is with God. God wants us to have this personal relationship with he and his son. Now, there is a peril of neglecting confronting. I know how many times I have sort of a dual nature. Sometimes the German in me rises up. But a lot of times it's very, very hard for me to confront. You know? And yet I recognize that it has to be done. Now, I failed miserably the other day of confronting. My friend, her daughter was there, had her little grandchild. And their little grandchild's like my little grandchild. And so she calls me Nana. And whenever she comes, she always knows in my fridge is some candy for her. Now, sometimes Mama doesn't like her to have it, nor Grandma. But this time they said she could have one. So she went in, got it, and come back out. And she stood there and ate it. But they got to talking. And I looked again, and I saw she got another one. I thought, you know. But I didn't say anything. Then I saw she got the third one. Now, truly, I should have reprimanded her. But I thought, nah, just let her eat it. So sometimes when we should confront, we don't confront. But I'm saying that to neglect to confront brings problems. It just keeps the thing going on and on and on, getting deeper. David, he sometimes in his run from Saul, when he was fleeing from him, he just sort of kept passive. He wouldn't really confront any of them, and it just kept coming on. So sometimes when we don't confront, now Job, he had some friends that came, and they were there to encourage him, but instead they were confronting him. They were telling him all kinds of things, and he finally said, you know, this isn't doing me any good. You know, you've come to comfort me, but it's not comforting. So he had to confront them in the sense that what they were doing was not helping him at all. So there are times that we really should not neglect to confront. Now, I want to get to the section there that talks about the four styles of confronting. Now, probably you have one of these styles, or you have used several of these styles. So we have to understand, is it good the way you're confronting? So let's look at them. Now, we just talked about the passive approach. The passive approach is that we don't directly interact because of fear. No, I can't tell them. I'm afraid of what they'll say. I'm afraid of what they do. Do you know that sometimes husbands who have very strong wives, their wives are so strong that the husbands fear to do some things, and they'll lie to their wives. Why do they lie? Because they don't want any trouble. They don't want any fighting. And so I have to say to the wife, you're causing them to lie. They get very upset. Oh, my husband lied to me. I said, well, you know, the way you confront him, the way things are, you are making him lie because he's afraid. And that'll just cause more problems. So you see that this thing of being very passive and not really facing it in the reality can give us trouble. But mainly it's because we don't confront because we're afraid. And we see here then that the disadvantage of this, it doesn't produce any long-term help. The problem just gets bigger. And our goal is to selfishly avoid it so that we'll not have any confrontations. And we let it go on, and we let it go on, and we let it go on until it breaks, it bursts. There's a real heartache out there. So are we one of those type that just passively won't approach confrontation? Then you must recognize this isn't good enough. I must take my fear in hand. I must think about this realistically. I must approach this thing in a proper way. And this is what we want to help you to see. Now, there is another approach. And this is the aggressive approach. You confront by overly attacking the person. And you really, many times, to get power over them, you hit their person. You have no good sense. You don't know how to reason. You're stupid. Instead of saying this is the problem, we need to solve it, we begin to get power struggles. We begin to get that power that says, you're not worth anything. So we become very, very aggressive. We use threats sometimes, intimidations. Yes, you try that. And I'll show you what I'll do. You know, we get to get what we want at any cost. We feel free to violate the rights of others. Those who become aggressive violate the rights of others. And so that's why you have to be very careful. It is a very short-term approach because you made your victim very powerless, but it doesn't last. It only goes deeper. And now it's deep hurt feelings. So you who are so used to just blowing up, well, that's how I was made. No, you weren't made that way. It's anger is an emotion. An emotion many times is basically what we have grown up with. How do I react to that emotion? I have a friend that has a family. They both were very soft-spoken. And the three children were very soft-spoken. And I've seen this, that many times our family, the way we've been brought up, if we were to be brought up in a family that was arguing with one another all the time, you know, always at each other, we think that that's our right to let our anger go like that. And then many times, of course, our anger is very deep inside and we can't control it. It just gets out of hand. So we have to understand, if you're like this, you're not really going to get anything settled. It just goes deeper. It just goes harder. But you said, how can I help myself? You know, this is one of the things that I believe that some people have lost the understanding that you really can help yourself. Everyone thinks, well, I'm like this. I can't help myself. We can help ourselves. I think we can learn that anything we want to really do, we can do it. Now, when you're the type of person that blows up, but if you're in front of someone that you revere, someone that pays you a salary, someone that thinks you're a great person, you don't blow up in front of them. Have you ever noticed? But when I get home with my family or with my friends, I just blow up. I just let them see my feelings. Then what is the difference? Why didn't you do it here as well as doing it here? you controlled that emotion. So when you say, I can control it, you're wrong. The only ones that can control it are now probably in jail. But anyway, I'm just saying that this is one of the things we have to understand. I don't know why we think that as we get older, we become, we become sort of something that just can't change anymore. You know, when I get old, I can't do this, I can't do that. You'd be surprised what you can do when you get old. You can work an iPad. When I went to the convention, these women were saying, oh, you've got an iPad. You know, like it was something unusual, something wonderful. You know, whatever we as a people can really, I've gone as far as I can go. I can't go any further. Yes, you can. We're resilient. People are resilient. People can really buck up and can change if they want to. So this is one of the things we have to understand. So the aggressive, the passive type, no, don't get into that. The aggressive, ask God to help you and start working out of it. Then we have another kind. These next two are even harder. Because you know the one that just doesn't say anything, that passive one, and you're pretty well aware of the one that is aggressive. Then you have these that we call the passive-aggressive approach. Now, that sounds contradictory, doesn't it? Passive-aggressive. Now, what is this? These are those who can use sarcasm. They can cut you with a knife and never lift their voice. It's those that they rather snip at you rather than directly confront you. Oh, you come against this sometimes at work. Those who are passive aggressive. They're not coming out aggressively and knocking at you, but they are saying little things that hurt you, trying to belittle you, but inside of them, they're want to get even. They want to get even for something they've done or something they imagine you have done. And so they can really hurt you. And we'll see that they avoid directly coming to you, but they're very aggressive towards you with the fact that they wanted to win. They want to get it over you. And so we see that that's not going to be any type of confronting there that will be solved. It's just a way that you do it that you can get over and begin to see that you can rule. Then we have last the assertive one. Now I want you to realize this isn't just to blow off. The assertive one isn't just to say what you think. That's the angry one many times, the aggressive one. Now we have the one that's assertive. And what we're trying to do, we have a motive in being assertive, at least we need to have. It's really directly affirming the truth in a positive way that they can change. We're not going after their person. We're aiming at the problem that we're trying to deal with. What is the problem? And we're going to use direct. We're going to speak special type of language. That language is one that we know will not hurt. Now, you have to think about this. That's why it's wonderful to be able to say, you know, God said in his word, watch those in the world, how business and how well they do. And maybe, you know, someday you'll need some of that. And I think to myself in business, how do we plan? When we're going to do something, we plan something. And so I think we should stop living off of the top of our head and begin to think, how can I approach this problem? How can I help this person? How can I make this thing right? And begin to realize that I want to do this, and I begin to think about it. So you actually are confronting them, thinking of the and expressing the values for the opinion and feeling of the other one. You don't go in cutting them up. In a sense, you can go in saying, you know, I know how you feel. And I understand that you feel that this is such and such a thing. But you know, I think we need to look at it in another perspective. Do you see how you're going at it? You're using something there that isn't attacking, but something that is coming in as a reasoning thing. Something that's coming in to present the facts. It gives you an opportunity to present the facts. You do not go in to hurt them. Actually, we used to call it the sandwich method. You use a compliment, you put in the meat, and you end up with a compliment. It seems to work at times that you're able to help them to see that you're not going at them. You know, they have you have your problems. All of you have your problems. You know, you misunderstand each other. You have different values. Some are stronger than others, and you have all these kind of problems within your marriage. But I think that as you learn, and as we learn to respect one another, but you said he doesn't deserve any respect. And sometimes it's very hard to find how you can respect this mate or how you can respect that mate. But when we can and be able to protect their person, not hurt their person. So when we're an assertive person, we're trying to confront them and yet be very careful that we're not going to accuse them or hurt them, but just try to show them what the truth is. There is wonderful advantages to this, because you're going to see some solutions begin to come out of it. And you're going to see some things that's going to be long term. We see that this was how David did. When he was in the cave, when Saul was trying to kill him, he was in one of the caves, back in the cave. And here came Saul. And Saul lay down and went to sleep. And David was there, and his men said, "Oh boy, David, now you can kill this man that's been chasing you." David went up there, took his spear, Saul's spear, and he said, and he cut, one time he cut a piece out of this, because he did it twice. He could have killed him twice. But Paul said, "I cannot touch the Lord's anointed." But when he came out of the cave, he called out to Saul, and he confronted him and said, "Saul, I could have killed you, but here, so why, you know, in a sense, why are you trying to kill me?" David really didn't know the true fact of why Saul was so vehemently trying to kill him. I'm sure he guessed that it was jealousy, but beyond that. So we see then that he confronted in asserting, but he didn't try to hurt the person. And I think this is what we have to get in our mind. Sometimes when we confront and we do aggressively, we feel bad. And sometimes I was more of a passive aggressive person. I was very strong in sarcasm. I could do it very quietly. But now when I think of it, it really hurts me. And sometimes now, when I'm facing something, right away, something will pop. I'm very quick in my mind to think of things. And right away, something will come to my mind that I know would hurt them. And I have to push it aside. Because we have to learn how to control ourselves. And asking God, because I really want to. I don't want to hurt people anymore. When I confront, I want to confront with truth and for truth. And for the purpose of helping, not of hurting one another. And I think this is the thing that is the key. I don't want to hurt the other person. And it was with the Lord. He didn't want to hurt anyone, but the fact was that he was, excuse me, this thing's, I touched the wrong button somewhere. Get my notes here. There it is. I sort of know how to work it. Okay. So, let us remember and use that as one of our principles. Try not to hurt. Even your children. Now, you know, I understand. I taught school. I first started teaching school. I had 40-some students in one room. It was wall-to-wall students. I was a new teacher, young teacher. I mean, I was ready to pull my hair out. And I learned very early that kids are good lawyers. They can find all kinds of things, you know, that reasonable and logic to do what they want to do. I remember the other second grade teacher, she said, "Jean, you've got to cultivate a voice." But as time went on, I learned some things. But I understand that they can get you exasperated. They can get you frustrated. From the time that they keep you awake all night when they're born until they're out of high school and married to their wives and having trouble. There's always something there that can bring up frustration. And so you and I have to recognize then that we, if we want to be what we should be and what God wants us to be, let's learn how to confront. And it is something we can learn. We'll be talking more about it next Sunday. God bless you and have a good dinner.